Good morning. Welcome to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldin, and this week is the last of my programs for the year of 2011. And to end the year, we're going to talk about goals, goal setting, why resolutions don't work, and what does work. My guest is psychologist Yvonne Edwards. And good morning.
Hi, Ann.
Okay, so let's go. A lot of times people say at this time of year they write down, or maybe they just think about what they want to do different in the year, and then they put it in a drawer, and then they wonder in March, what happened to that thing? And then by June, they've totally forgotten it, and in fact, next year they write the same stupid thing. And maybe it isn't stupid, but every year they're wishing for the same thing, but it never happens.
Right. I've done that.
I think we've all done that. And, of course, there are more effective things to do.
Yes. And I've actually enjoyed getting ready for this show because I have one of those issues that I can't seem to manage. And so, and I'm a psychology person, so I should, I should know how, I don't. But now I do, because I'm going to tell you. But first, I just want to say there are the top 10 things that most people have as goals in the new year, and I'll read them to you.
Okay.
Because they're very generic, but I'll just point them out that these are not the things that often work. Okay, people say, I want to spend more time with my family and my friends. I want to have fitness in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I want to tame the bulge,
lose weight,
mm-hmm. quit smoking, quit drinking, enjoy life more, get out of debt, learn something new, help others, and get organized. Those are the 10 most popular uh-huh. resolutions. Okay. And in conventional wisdom, psychology, and what's out there in the world, they say if you do all these things, you can do this, or they offer these 5 easy ways to be perfect, and you pay $1,000 and you'll be, those things don't really work, as we know, as I know, at least for me. For some people they might, but most of us will need something more.
And why don't they work?
Well, it's complicated. Every person is very complicated, but basically, if you want to lose weight, like I always want to lose weight, but it's not coming from, the desire is not deep enough or isn't a major, juicy life goal. It's just kind of something I should do for my health, but mm-hmm. I'm not really engaged in it.
So then you mean for something to work as a goal, it actually has to be something that's very important.
Yes, has a lot of meaning to you.
Uh-huh. It can't just be some intellectual.
No.
Because it sounds like what doesn't work is I should do, because a lot of those things were things that you should. I know
right.
that I would be a better person if
exactly.
I did the following.
Right.
That doesn't work.
No. No. And that's one of the main things is to whatever you do, if you're not really passionate about it, it generally won't work well in life in general, but in these resolutions, that's uh-huh. one of the main things. Okay, so here's what conventional wisdom says about having these goals. And I mean, it's not all bad, but they say this. Like, let's say you say, I want to spend more time with my family and friends. What you really want is the feeling that you're going to get from doing that. That's the other major piece of this that people need to know. It's not the thing or the result, but the feeling you get from the result or what you think you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, if you want to feel closer to your family, the feeling is, I want to feel closer to my family, or I want to have the feel peace of knowing that I'm a good family member. You know, maybe you're not. Maybe you don't feel that way because you don't call your parents or you yell at your kids. And so, what you need to do, if you're going to do it this way, and if you're really passionate about this, this will work. One of the activities they say is you can spend more of your free time together, make plans, have a birthday party for one of your siblings, or call your parents, or listen to your family. You know, that all that will make you feel connected, which is what you really want.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like one of the keystones of this being successful is that you have to have a plan. You can't just say, oh, I want to lose weight. You actually have to have a plan for
no.
it. Oh, no.
No.
Okay.
Plan is too constricting. But you need to break down your desire into little bits.
Okay.
Because then they're called manageable parts that you can do. Like, you know, I always say, oh, I'm going to lose 50 pounds this year. Well, that's not going to work. But if I say, I'm just going to go have an extra salad every day rather than something else, that's manageable. Mm-hmm. And over the years, that's actually worked. Even though I'm not at my goal, all these little things that you try, some of them stick and they mm-hmm. help move you toward your goal. It might take years, but you've got time, hopefully, you know.
Well, right. Most of us have until the end, and most of us have a long time till, I mean, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I anticipate being around for another 30 or 40 years.
Oh, good. Yeah. Good. Well, here's something. There's two ways that are important to put in your life, I think, to deal with the big issue. First of all, there's an exercise that somebody wrote that I really like that helps you find out what it is that makes you feel a goal that's worthy of you. Okay, mm-hmm. So step one, that you think back on the experiences in your life that made you feel most alive or in the flow or most like you were fully yourself. That's the first step. Just go back and try to remember those. If you're lucky and you have a life chart, which I'm working on, where you put every year of your life in order, and then you take photos of yourself from those years and you paste them in there, and so you can look at your life chart, all your whole life. You can also then start adding words to that chart and look for things. And for instance, you can look for the experiences that happened when you were 5 that made you feel wonderful. I mean, I remember stuff that I'm not going to talk about here, but, you know, so remember what made you feel most alive. That's the first thing. Then the second step is, what were some of the elements that made that experience so wonderful? So I know, let's say surfing, because I know Barry likes to surf, and that came up. If you love to surf, the element of surfing, there might be a couple of elements. One is your connection to water. Mm-hmm. And another one would be being in nature. So those are bigger elements of the actual surfing, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? So if you can find the elements, the bigger picture of what the experience was, that's important.
There's another element in surfing.
Go ahead. What is?
Which is, there's this danger. There's this
Ooh.
Excitement of waves can be really big.
Yeah.
Current can be
fast,
dangerous.
And, deep,
and
yes.
there can be marine mammals that can be dangerous or present or so there's an element of fear and danger that's very exciting for surfers.
Huh.
So there that's a whole other part.
That's, I didn't
I mean
know
it's
that.
A great exercise. It's
but it
scary,
keeps you,
it's
yeah,
fun,
yeah.
it's exciting.
That's great.
Yes. And of course obviously it's in water.
Yeah.
And
that's
for those
great,
of us that are
yeah.
water people, I prefer the swimming pool. I'm not into all that other part of it.
Yeah.
I like to connect with water, but not out there.
Yeah.
That's too scary for me.
Yeah. Okay, good. Thanks. That scary piece comes up later, too.
Okay.
About when you choose a goal and you know it's an important leap goal rather than a slog goal, which are words I got from this book. But one of the elements is being frightened when you choose that goal. It's a little scary. That's a good thing.
Oh, okay. Then you know that
you're on the right track.
It affects you.
Yes.
It's not
yes.
just an intellectual
right.
thing.
Right. Your body reacts.
Uh-huh.
And I'll go into that more in a minute.
Okay.
But let's go through finish the steps. So there's two now. So three, what things was I, it's kind of a weird sentence, was I being fed through this experience, like surfing, things that are vital to my spirit's health and well-being.
So what does this do for me?
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
That's really important to me that I need. And then four, develop a list of five core nutrients. Core nutrients meaning things that you just can't live without that are very, very important to you.
Now, these aren't things like food, water, shelter.
No. These are emotional and spiritual.
Okay. Things like being connected with other people.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then surfing. Here is that thing. Surfing isn't a core nutrient, but connecting with water or being in my body or feeling a little danger might be for that person.
Oh, absolutely, for that person.
For that person. I'm thinking of that person.
Right.
Okay, and then step five, look at your 2012 resolutions in light of these core nutrients. Don't say, well, I just want to lose weight and get a better job. All those things you might want to, but look at them more in terms of the excitement and the passion of what you want to achieve in this year. Mm-hmm. And then it says, how are you going to shift your priorities? Like if you're busy and you're working, and how are you going to shift your life to accommodate those core nutrients?
Right. People always say things like, "Oh, I want to spend more time doing nothing," or "I want to spend more time listening to music." And then they spend their whole time running around crazy.
Right.
Yeah, you have to make time for that, or do you really want it?
Well, that's the other big question. There's that quote at the beginning of this by my favorite of all time poet, Mary Oliver. "Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life?" And that's the question that you can keep asking yourself, you know, just every once in a while, just go, wait, what am I doing? Like, I'm vegged out in front of this TV
or
watching reruns or the computer, you know, and I'm thinking when this thought comes in my mind, I feel like this existential crisis starts happening. What am I doing here? I have a precious few years left. What am I doing? So it's a good thing to keep that in your mind. What are you doing with this precious life?
Mm-hmm.
So now we get to the point where a lot of people know how to meditate. Everybody that I've researched in this say meditation is the thing to do.
The thing to do for what?
For everything. I mean, basically there's, you know, the new psychology is, now they even have programs in psychology schools now, the more forward-thinking ones, where they teach mindfulness psychology or psychotherapy. The therapists that are coming out of these schools are combining psychology with some of the meditation and guided imagery and all these things. This is now becoming more popular and more real because people see it's working. So, and I happen to come from a school that did that, only it wasn't popular then when I was being a therapist, so I didn't include a lot of meditation with my clients or encourage that. But now they're doing brain studies in these big universities about they attach electrodes to meditators and monks and all this, and they're finding all these positive physical gains from doing that. So what you just said, people are so busy, we're running around, I don't have time for this. Well, that's an avoidance thing. If you just sat still, you would get some information that you need about how to do this. Okay, so one of the people that I found on this, did you hear about the Goddess Summit?
Mm-hmm.
And I was into that all of October, every day, four people a day, and I would hear their videos or watch their videos, and it was wonderful. And I got a lot of information from really great, great teachers there. And they all were saying that, all the coaches, everybody saying, you know, at least sit down and be quiet for a while if you can. It's very hard. It's very hard for me to do that.
Okay, so when you sit down and you're quiet, what are you listening for, or what are you hoping will happen?
Okay. What this guy, Eric Klein, says, he's one of the people who presented. He's a Zen person. And he makes music, and he has a lot of nice things to say. In fact, I got a lot of stuff from him for this show, and he says that if you want transformation, that's different than getting your goals met. You know, like, we have these goals and we want to become better. We want to become thinner, smarter, more whatever.
More connected.
More connected, mm-hmm. Yes. That's fine, but that's not transformation. He says that's a fine thing to do. And the way to do it also is if you meditate. But if you meditate, which is sitting still for him and not thinking or watching your breath or whatever, all these ways you can do it, what happens after 10,000 hours, he says, which is, you know, maybe for most people 10 years of meditation, that you become a master at it and you are able to, your brain accommodates and grows and expands in the way that you want it to, but you have to put the time in. He says, that's when transformation happens. And so that you no longer live in the same consciousness that you are in now. Mm-hmm. You actually live in a different, and I don't mean enlightenment. I don't even know what that is for sure, but that's not what he's talking about. It's just altering your consciousness so that you no longer have these issues.
You're listening to Your Health. If you're just joining us, I'm Ann Goldin, and I'm with psychologist Yvonne Edwards, and we're talking about goals. So now we're going to talk about
the eight radical ideas about goals.
Okay.
This is from Tara Moore. She is one of the goddess presenters.
Okay.
I know it sounds a little woo-woo, but it's not. There's a lot of good information out there.
That's all right.
Okay, good. I'm a little woo-woo anyway. So transformation, we'll just let that go. People kind of know what that is, but that's the other extreme, is not to deal with your goals in any kind of way of doing anything. Just sit, meditate, and you'll transform. That's one way to do it. The other way is... another way that I like is if you think about the goals like this. So there's a difference between goals. There's the gift goals, where you're giving yourself a gift. It's a wonderful, fabulous goal. You're excited by it. Your body is scared by it, but you want to leap into it. Okay. And then there's the other goals, the should-generated goals, that we talked about, you know, feel like burdens that you got to do it. And they're very safe because you know you can do it if you really force yourself. Okay, and but the gift goals are more fun and more effective because they engage your passion. And that's the bottom line of everything here. You really have to be passionate about something to make it work. Okay, then like gift goals give you energy instead of take energy, and they come from your authentic voice, not your head, where you're just kind of arguing with yourself.
I need to do this. I should do this.
Yes.
Right.
And they are more about becoming who you really are. So if you really are a vibrant, thin, active person, that will emerge. And I think that I was most of my life. It's just lately. Okay. Now, fear-based goals create stress.
You mean attention. Like if I don't do this,
I'm
going to
die. Mm-hmm. If I don't, you know, and actually I do know that that can be a successful motivation if somebody really wants to live. It's a passion to live. But if it's just out of fear, vague fear, that's not going to work. Okay. Now, this is something new to me that I really appreciated hearing. When you first have a dream, remember we did vision boards and... Mm-hmm. When you first get the dream that really engages your passion, or you started to have an inkling of that, don't go out and do it. Don't go right out and jump in and start writing lists about how I'm going to do this. Date your dream. Go on a date with your dream. Try to get to know the dream. Just be gentle and lovely with the dream and give yourself room and talk about it a little bit, but don't start making lists and trying to do it, because that activity is often it gets in the way of really letting something emerge.
So forcing it,
yes,
sometimes isn't the right thing.
Right.
Oh, okay. We're going to force our will on that.
Yeah. Cool. Oh, I've it's like your ego grabs onto something and now I can do this. I've done this 100 times. Mm-hmm. And then I have to undo it. When I start realizing, oh, I did it again, I have to undo it. So, anyway, develop a relationship with that dream before you start doing the hows. How am I going to do it? Don't worry about that. Just sit with it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then the other thing that was good advice is if you do have an action plan for some of these resolutions, if they're not working, it's very important not to blame yourself. Like, what's wrong with me? Why can't I, you know, mm-hmm. don't blame yourself. Kind of be gentle and ask, how can I build a better support system to accomplish what I want to do? The negative, angry thoughts that you have in your head about yourself are really destructive in anything. And as a psychology person, I don't call myself a psychologist, by the way, because I'm not licensed as a psychologist. So I can't call myself that.
Even though you have a PhD in psychology.
That you have to have a license to be a psychologist. So here's where the psychology comes in. When you have all these negative voices and all this conflict about what you're doing with your goals. So you asked me before, earlier, if there's such a thing as laziness.
Mm-hmm.
And there isn't. There isn't. I know that you think that. We all think that. Oh, there's some lazy bums lying around, or my kids or teenagers are lazy. But what person likes to take out the garbage, right?
Nobody.
Okay, nobody. Nobody likes, I don't know, maybe there's one person that you know, but, or get the car fixed or mow the lawn. These are things that we have to do to live. But they're not, they don't fill us with joy usually, unless we're already filled with joy about everything, and that's good too. So what you're experiencing when you don't want to do something is resistance, but it's not laziness. It's just, I don't like doing it, and so I'm going to resist. You know, and you can overcome that, but it is just resistance, not laziness. The other thing, though, is this. Let's say you really are passionate about wanting to lose weight. And I'm going to use that because that's my issue, and I understand that one a little bit. Okay, so, but you still can't. You find yourself sabotaging yourself. But this can apply to anything, getting a new job or quitting drinking or whatever it is. Then you've got to look at your inner conflicts. And that's where it gets really scary. I mean, you have a really good reason to not reach your goal. There's something internal that is keeping you from that. And in during this process of researching this, I had to think about what's left for me. And a lot came up. Even though I've been in lots of therapy and all this stuff, there's still an issue, and I'm going to work on it with Nancy, doing some EMDR. We trade with each other. And anyway, it's a sexual thing. If I'm overweight, I'm safe, you know. And not that there's anything going on. I mean, I'm married, but this false fear of something bad will happen if I get thin comes from my history. So I have to deal with it. And so does everybody else. If they really get really passionately want to change something but can't, that's when you can look at your psychology. And that group that I want to do, Nancy and I are doing a group in January for 8 weeks. It's going to be about doing the exercises from this book, Barbara Scher's book, which gets to all these different things that are underneath and helps you decide what's going on. And it's not going to be where we're going to probably deal with the issues specifically, your issues, or you know, but more give you an idea of what they are. So if you want to pursue them with a therapist, you can. But that is important.
So then if a person says they have a goal and they consistently can't move in that direction, they need to do some inside work to figure out what are the conflicts? What's going on? Why isn't it?
Only if it's a goal that really they're passionate about.
Okay, so
if it's a regular old goal, one of these that everybody has, and you're not really passionate about it, that's not, you don't need to go to therapy for that. You just realize that that's not your heart's desire.
It's not really your goal.
It's not really your goal. And right. you always ask, what do I really want?
You know, one of the things that's helped me get to deeper levels is always asking, why do you want that? And then whatever the answer is, well, why do you want
exactly.
that?
Exactly.
And keep going until you go to, and it always comes to some feeling thing. At
right.
some point, it's like, because that makes me feel alive or
yes.
whole or happy or connected or whatever it is. It's always something that's so not at all what you thought it was.
Right.
It's far away from that.
And then so if you understand what the feeling is that you're going after, the wisdom that I've been getting from all these people is you can have some of that now. You can have it now. Like there was
how do you have it now?
Okay. There is an example of a woman who deeply wanted to be a public speaker. But she was overweight and she said, "Well, I can't be a public speaker unless I lose weight because I don't want to be in front of everybody and look, you know, just be fat."
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so her therapist, she's working with her therapist. I think this was Barbara Scher that she was actually working with. Got her to finally take a baby step. Because what happens is the resistance comes up, the fear comes up. If you start to jump right into your dream and you have all these things that why you shouldn't do it and you can't do it and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Barbara got her to join a Toastmasters club mm-hmm. in town somewhere and give little speeches and gain confidence in small ways
mm-hmm.
toward this big goal. And once she got confident, things started to change. So there's that thing. Do I have to change first before I can do? Or will I change?
Both.
Both. And they have to do with each other.
Oh,
you know?
That's great.
Yeah. So.
And of course, that particular example of public speaking, most people would rather have their fingernails removed than do public speaking.
Yes.
So that's for a lot of people, that's a very hard thing. And a lot of people have that not as a goal because it's too creepy.
Right. They're afraid of it. I always think of like that thing. You look at everybody as if they're naked in the mm-hmm. audience, and I go, you know, I'm just like it's just silly.
That's distracting.
I know, but it worked for me. I had to. The other thing that works is if you have to do something that you're frightened of, just assume you're going to fail. Just assume I'm going to go. In fact, I did this with my getting my license. My therapy license, I thought I was going to fail this oral exam. So I had a ticket to Hawaii in my pocket. And I had a big cold sore on my face. My clothes looked kind of, I just didn't care. I said, I'm going to fail. I don't care. I'm going to Hawaii tomorrow. Who cares? So I went in and I just aced it.
You were relaxed.
I was relaxed. And I thought, I'll just take it later. The people who really, but if you go all tense into something, it's harder. And so then you get to the basic question that some of the real enlightened spiritual teachers say, so what? So you fail this and you look funny and you humiliate yourself, so what? And I love that. I think that's the ultimate answer to all of these things is to keep that in perspective. So what?
Right,
you know?
Who cares?
Who cares? I mean, not that who cares, but so what? The so what is more of a real question.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you do care a little bit, but being a fool is fine. And if you fail at these things, that's okay. Just look at what happened and go see your shrink.
You have been listening to Your Health. My guest is Yvonne Edwards. Thank you very much for being here.
Yeah, thanks, Anne.
And next week, John Ryuda, the born again birder, will be here talking about winter birds in your garden. Have a great week.